how are the teen years particularly hard for LGBTQ youth?
LGBTQ youth struggle a lot with isolation, access to information, access to appropriate and competent mental health care and medical care, and then also just finding safe ways to explore their identity and what it means to them, whether that be dating, making changes to the gender expression, right, getting the schools or their friends to work with them to accept and celebrate, changes to names, to appearances, to pronouns. So often people don't ask a child, how do you feel about your gender? What do you want to be wearing? What do you want to play with? Who do you want to date? And they're assumed to be cisgender. They're assumed to be straight. And it's a really empowering question. One thing that we hear a lot from youth is that this question about whether or not children or youth can actually know that they are LGBTQ, at a really early age, they are faced with feeling different from all the dominant messaging that they're receiving. It becomes really apparent that something feels different, and it's hard to really explore that when we don't give them the words to name it.
Can you explain some of the terminology that lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and questioning youth might use to describe themselves?
One thing to know is that it's changing, and words are being added, and words are being taken away, and words are being reclaimed. So if we break it down into gender identity, biological sex, gender expression, and sexual and romantic orientation, we might have orientations like pansexual, bisexual, gay, straight, queer. Gender identity, we might have male, female, trans, male, gender, queer, demigirl, demiboy. Some words that are more familiar, some words that people have never heard of. And again, the meanings will change, so having a general understanding, getting used to asking those open-ended questions of what does this term mean to you? What words do you want me to use? And not making assumptions.
So this issue of pronouns hangs up a lot of folks who aren't connected to the LGBTQ community.
Mm-hmm. There might be some variance in opinion on this, but if you do not know someone's pronouns and you don't have an opportunity to ask before referencing them, two recommendations. One is if you know their name, use their name. And if you don't know their name, use gender-neutral pronouns. Singular say is a grammatically correct pronoun that people use naturally all the time, right? When you're referring to somebody you don't know, like, oh, the mailman came, they left you a package. That's a singular use of the they pronoun. I would like to recommend that people use that for anyone they don't know. Being misgendered, especially if it happens consistently, and knowing that people around you aren't taking the time to understand or ask, get to know about your gender identity, your relationship to gender, and just putting you in a box can really inhibit your ability to live in a lot of ways. It can distract you from learning. It can distract you from a therapeutic process, from accessing a social service, from enjoying a movie or a friend group. And that's one of those experiences that cisgender people just don't encounter very often. So I understand why it might be a little bit of an empathy struggle to try to understand what that could be like to be constantly misgendered. But it's having really damaging, painful effects on youth and adults who are transgender or gender nonconforming.
Can you explain a little more how misgender identification is an obstacle in an educational setting?
If you imagine like a seventh grade boy who is transgender, it could be the case where he's a transgender boy, he uses he pronouns. Maybe he is lucky enough to have a supportive family member that lets him wear masculine clothing. Maybe not. Maybe he doesn't have a supportive family. Maybe he's still coming to school wearing a very feminine gender expression. Regardless, you have a boy who is in a classroom who has been brave enough, let's say, for example, to tell a teacher, I use he pronouns. This is my name. And I would like you to call me by he, him, his pronouns in the classroom. And then if that teacher repeatedly, and it's even if it's an accident, malicious or not, if that teacher continues to use she pronouns because that's what the teacher sees on the roster or in the school profile, or that's what the teacher called the kid last year, every time that happens, that kid's identity is being invalidated. And that kid is being told that he can't decide how he feels about himself or his body, that he doesn't have that right. And it's creating an environment where all the kids in the classroom are seeing an authority figure ignore that child's right to their own understanding of their gender. And those kids are less likely to gender that kid correctly, too. And it creates a distracting learning environment where all these feelings, and I can personally identify with this, all of these feelings of feeling nervous or anxious or embarrassed or exhausted, invalidated, sad, are in your head when you're just trying to learn a simple math lesson. Mm-hmm. And it's constantly happening. And we need teachers to take it seriously. We need counselors to take it seriously, and social workers and therapists and parents and church leaders. Because it's a quiet problem that's happening.
I read that a survey for the Centers for Disease Control found that LGBTQ youth are 4 times more likely to attempt suicide than their straight peers. Besides being at risk for suicide, what are some other health risks associated with LGBTQ youth?
Almost every adverse child experience or health risk is present. So they're at higher risk for drug abuse and alcohol abuse, higher risk for depression, higher risk for homelessness and housing insecurity, higher risk for unemployment as they become young adults.
Can I circle back around to this statistic about LGBTQ youth being at a higher risk for suicide? That's just so troubling. So I'm wondering, you know, besides obviously calling 911, what should the average person do if they're not a trained social worker, if you find yourself in a situation with a suicidal LGBTQ teen or any teen? Can you give us an approach to take or some phrases that would be helpful or comforting?
We want to make sure that if we're referring them to emergency services, we're referring them to competent ones. So, for example, if referring them to a suicide line, go ahead and refer them to an LGBTQ suicide line. So the best one for LGBTQ youth is going to be the Trevor line, the Trevor Project, so we know that whoever they talk to on that phone is going to honor and respect their identity. Similarly, particularly with trans youth, if at all possible, if a trans youth is going to be sent to a hospital, we need to do our best to make sure that those doctors and nurses all know that youth's preferred name and pronouns. It is incredibly traumatizing or re-traumatizing for a trans youth or any queer person to go to a medical facility, particularly in a crisis situation, and have their dead name, the name that they do not use, that they were assigned, or their dead pronouns, the pronouns they do not use, being used over and over again. So those are additional considerations that we might not have for cisgender, heterosexual people. There are a lot of really good resources online for screens, for some basic questions to ask people where you can assess, you know, their likelihood to commit suicide, their access to tools or weapons, their plan, the likelihood to carry it out, their resources. But ultimately, you want to assess the risk either by, you know, calling a professional, calling a hotline, or using a accredited tool, and then try to give youth choices while also ensuring that they get to safety. You know, do you want me to take you to the hospital, or do you want me to call an ambulance? Do you want them to use your preferred name or this name? Who do you want to know, et cetera? You know, a part of a suicidal experience is being in an act of desperation and not feeling like you have options.
Is there anything that we haven't touched on that you'd like the listeners to know?
I would love to just let people know about PRISM youth community, if they don't already know. It's an LGBTQ support group for youth ages 12 to 20. It is based in Bloomington, but they welcome youth from anywhere. They meet every Tuesday at the Unitarian Universalist Church from 6:30 to 8, and they meet Thursdays at Hopscotch Coffee from 7 to 9. So PRISM youth community is a wonderful organization to check out, either to refer an LGBTQ youth to, and they also accept allies in their space, or to just help donate to and get involved